Tonight, like I said, is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to go into a little bit from the tape last week and tie some things in. This isn't really our halfway point, okay? Same rules, same expectations that we've talked about. Pull, ask questions. This is your time, okay? One of the things that I typically do when I talk to student groups and we talk about are we wasting our time or not, is we do a count of how many people are in the room. Let's say it's 20, okay? And then we sit back and say, well, what do we think the average salary would be per hour? And people would say $10 an hour, let's just say. Okay, so we better be getting at least $200 worth of value for our time here. Now, the reality is that we're not talking to a young group of students. We have professionals, we have business owners, we have varying levels of education and socioeconomic status. When you account for the value of all of our time, let's make sure we're getting something out of it. Amen? So, where I'm going to start with today is, after listening to last week, I'm going to share a little bit of my story, because I never thought about the context with which you're receiving information. Okay, so a lot of people were vulnerable and transparent last week. I'll be vulnerable and transparent with you all. Is that fair? Okay, so you all know that I grew up in a military family. I was raised by a single mom. My parents stayed married, but they lived separated from the age of fifth grade until I graduated from high school. There was domestic violence that I saw. I was the one that called the police to stop it. I saw my mom hospitalized multiple times. And that has an impression upon you in terms of how you see relationships, how you see people, also how you see money. Money was scarce. It was tight. Mom was trying to do the best she could. And then, you know, as some of you relayed last week, when I was in around 14, 15 years old, well, let me back up. When I was fifth grade is 10, 11 years old. We were living in Atlanta at the time. I got my first job at the age of 11. I walked to we were living in the projects in Atlanta, and I walked to a local barber shop, and I said, I want a job. And the head barber there looked at me and said, well, what can you do? And I just looked around and said, I can sweep. So he goes, you know what, little man? He goes, I'll give you a nickel, a ton of money for a kid in the 70s. I'll give you a nickel after I cut each head. So every day after school, I would go down there and I'd sweep. I moved up from there and worked at a Tenneco gas station during the oil crisis and the gas shortages in the late 70s. Back in the 70s, people had more pride in their businesses. You know, they would paint the curbs white. They would paint stones white. I'd be out there sweeping the parking lot and painting, and then I'd do some stock shelving. So I've been working since I was about 11 years old. When I was in high school, we had a thing called the commissary, which was much like Wegmans. And I became a bagger. And I would go bag groceries hours at a time after school, practically 2-3 times a week. And I was bringing in serious money. I would bring just in tips somewhere around $300 a week. And I was hustling. I've hustled ever since then, okay? So what's the motivation out of that? I can't ask mom for money. I gotta get my own, okay? I can attain anything that I wanna achieve. I can go ahead and access anything that I wanna access if I'm willing to work, okay? So as you all were talking about the different paradigms of people and what motivates them and how do they engage or see money, just know that's where I'm coming from. My orientation is there's nothing you can't do if you can roll up some sleeves and get to work, okay? And that has permeated this entire process. It gets merged a little bit with the kingdom and the scripture, because the word says the same thing. You can do all things. We can do all things. The issue is that we have to do them in a certain order, and there's a certain anointing and a blessing that comes on it when we're doing the things that he has called us to do, okay? And then the rewards will follow. So tonight, since this is like the halfway point, I want to revisit some of the things that we talked about in the last 5 weeks, okay? We talked about the A to B strategy. Right? Getting from point A to point B. Where we're at
to where we want to be. And there's this large gulf in this divide. And a lot of this, the classes and the speakers that we have coming in are talking to us about practical things that we can incorporate into our household, into our businesses, to become more efficient, to become more profitable in terms of tracking our inventory or knowing the state of our flocks, in terms of how we manage them, how do we grow them, how do we make sure that we don't get in credit issues. And we've got the tax situation coming up. We've got the lawyer coming up in terms of how to protect it. We've got some real estate investors coming up. And then we've got some other testimonials of some business owners that are going to be talking about some of their experiences as well in terms of what putting it all together. Today is that benchmark halfway through the program where we're going to recap what we've talked about a little bit, see what's spoken to you, and talk about some practical things that we can do on this journey. Fair? Okay, so I just want to recap some of the things that we talked about. Over the last couple weeks, we talked about the importance of budgeting. Just by a show of hands, how many people in the last 5 weeks actually sat down, if you had a budget, reviewed it, or if you didn't have one, created one? Okay, there's my 80%. Okay, cool. All right, so we're doing something. Now, did you do that for right hand for your personal, left hand for your business? Okay, we got a couple of both. Fair enough. Next, we talked about the importance of documentation and owning your own data. If you weren't using an accounting software when we were talking about stewardship and accounting, we mentioned QuickBooks, but we also mentioned you could do it with Excel, and there's a lot of other applications out there. How many of you initiated at least looking into a software that can help you in the last 5 weeks? Okay, good, good. How many of you already used some software and actually took a look and thought about, am I using it to its full capacity and potential? Because there's oftentimes when we go ahead and we get resources and tools, we'll sit back and we'll say, okay, this is what works for me. And there's a whole universe out there that we don't even know about that we're not utilizing. Like, and I just wanted to mention one thing. We talked about QuickBooks and we talked about some practical applications of it. One of the things, anybody know what a CM is? A contact management system? Anybody know what that is? Okay. A contact management system is something where you have, let's say, your vendors, okay? Let's say your customers. And inside of there, you'll have their name, their address, their phone number, their email, their website, if they have an account number, okay, whatever, a billing code, whatever. QuickBooks, this is one of the things that as I was reviewing some of the messages of what we had talked about in the weeks past, it's not only an accounting software, okay? Yes, it's an accounting software where you can track your own personal financials, but you can also track everything as a contact management system. Once you basically put people's information in the system, do they owe you money? Do you owe them money? Great. But what about communications? You want to go ahead and do a mail merge and send a letter to all of your customers? You can do that right out of QuickBooks. You want to go ahead and create a form where here's your logo and here's your message. Here's your invoice. How many of you have seen those invoices when you go to different businesses? All they're doing is they're using the same accounting software for contact management purposes, okay? You can do this via, you can send them emails, you can do hard letters, you can do any number of different things. So I didn't want to lose sight of the fact that when we talk about owning data, it's not only your financial data, because every person knows, it used to be years ago, if you were in sales, we used to talk about the most important thing that you have is your Rolodex, right? That Rolodex was gold. It had all those little business cards. And today, this can be your Rolodex. You can have it in Outlook as well. You don't have to use accounting software. You can do it in Outlook, and you can have all of your contacts listed there with all their specific pieces of information. You can schedule meetings. You can set up, you know, meetings, appointments. You can do communications, all that. There's a number of different software applications that are out there. Some of them are even free, okay, that you can utilize. But when we talk about owning your data, I want to just stress and impress upon you, it's not just your accounting and your financials, because this is your business. This is your business. This you could lose. You could probably recreate it. You lose this, that's going to be difficult. Okay? So you want to have both, and you can do both of those things within QuickBooks. Okay, we also talked about the importance of forecasting. How many people remember that? Knowing what season of life you're in and trying to anticipate what's coming up on the horizon in the next 1, 3, 5 years so that you can adequately prepare and have reserves available so that you can make strategic investments. We talked about that a little bit. Personally, in your household or in your business. And I gave an example of the Excel spreadsheet, which I called the roadmap, where you just numbered everything sequentially based on year, and you gave everything a label. That was a forecasting strategy. An oversimplified one, not very technical, but it's definitely something that you can do. If you're in the process of already doing budgets, you can use QuickBooks also in that data to help you forecast more precisely. I just like to see big general trends. How many people in the last 4 weeks have sat back and thought about their business, about where they want to be in the next 1, 3, 5 years, or in their personal situation, and tried to forecast some things? Okay, a couple of you. Great. Okay. We also talked about the fact that there is an anointing on this ministry, and that I'm not surprised that a lot of people in this ministry are being stirred one way or another. How many people in the last couple of weeks since we talked about this have thought about and actually start documenting some of the things that God is speaking to you and thinking about God's favor on your life? Okay, a couple. Okay. I'm holding you accountable to some of the stuff. Okay. We talked about knowing the seasons of your life. We talked about mindsets. How many people, well, last week, wow. How many people were challenged based on their mindset in terms of looking at your current situation a little bit differently than when you first started coming to these classes? Okay, good. Let's see. We talked about the importance of the credit bureaus and how they work. Okay, Brian came up, and we talked about, you know, how credit is actually interpreted, how it's calculated. We talked about FICO scores versus the Vantage scores and the different things that are out there. How many people in the last couple of weeks since Brian was here speaking to us have actually gone out and pulled their credit report? Okay. All right.
It's fair.
And we talked about some debt reduction strategies, not just credit cards, but student loans and some other things. How many people within the last couple of weeks sat down and took a look at all of your liabilities, documented them, and started looking for strategies that you're going to be able to employ to resolve some of that issues? Okay, all right. Here's the question. Why am I asking you these questions? Not rhetorical. Yes, sir. Okay, so basically I'm asking if you're going to do something, right? What else? Why else am I asking you these questions? These are poignant questions, and I appreciate the honesty and the transparency. But why am I asking you these questions? Accountability, okay? What else? Accountability to who? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. Why else would I be asking you some of these questions? Further help. Let's call it added questions. Okay. What else? Yes, ma'am. To make sure that there's understanding. Anybody else? I'll let the Holy Spirit have his job. Okay, that's not me. Okay, but I'll put him here. Okay, so I like all these answers. And the last thing that I had in my little checklist is Q&A's from the previous sessions. Were there any additional pieces of information that weren't clear that you needed some additional information about that we need to review before we go on to some other topics? All of these are correct, absolutely. Because one of the things that I know in my own personal life, I want to get out of here, right? And I want to go to Canaan land. I think I spelled it wrong, but close enough. I want to go from here to there using a biblical analogy. I don't want to live my life here. I don't want to have my existence here. But you know what? If you remember what the children of Israel said, is they were on this journey, right? And they got out here to the desert. And they kept going to Moses and they're saying, it was better back here than it is out here. Okay? Here's the reality that I want to highlight to you. That it's very dangerous, in my mind, if people have a vision of an understanding of where they're at, and they have a place where they want to go. Because the journey in between, there's a lot of things that need to change. There's a lot of things that need to get reorganized. There's a lot of things that we need to step up to a different level. And when we're on that journey, it's very easy to pine back for what we had before. All this effort, I'm not necessarily seeing results. All this effort, you're telling me that I need to go ahead and start creating a budget. I never operated without a budget before. I wasn't running in the red. I know how to manage my money. I don't need to do all that. You know what? I don't need to really focus in on how I give. I don't really need to start thinking about forecasting what expenses are going to come up. I know that if something happens in my house and I need to put a new roof on, I'll address it then. You know what? I don't need to go ahead and fill in the blank, personal or business. If we want to rise to a different level, we're going to have to steward at a different level. We're going to have to, meaning management, oversight, we're going to have to get additional pieces of information to go ahead and see this thing through. Because there's going to be resistance on the journey. And some of the things that we talked about are all good things. Are they all required for each and every one of us? No, I don't do a great job at that whole list. I don't. But there are certain things that I need to do if I really want to be here. Does that make sense? Because just like the children of Israel, you will get here. And some of you are here now. That's one of the reasons some of you are in this class. And you're sitting back saying, it was just easier when I was working for somebody else. This business is just, you know, it's coming close sometimes, but it was so much easier. Is that really what God told you to do? No, I launched this new business. I launched this new venture because I believe God has a blessing on my life. He spoke this to me, and I need to do it. Okay, well, if he spoke that to you, there's some other additional things that we need to do to press through to get to this other side. Because the challenge is that you can spend 40 years right here on this journey. And nobody wants to spend the next 40 years chasing down something that should only take a couple of weeks. Right? So I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm here to encourage. So let's pause. We all have done our own self-assessment of what we have done and what we haven't done. Okay. The question I have for you is simply, is there anything on any one of the topics that we've talked about in the last 5 weeks that we need to revisit or we want to revisit? Anybody? Anything? There's no wrong question, no wrong term that we want to go by. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Well, this is not the gold standard by any means. Okay. But I'll tell you what I think of as a budget. Okay. First thing, I don't even like this word. Okay, I don't. Okay. Because it's so intimidating and it means so many different things to everybody. Okay. But in order to create a budget, I don't think that you create a budget day one by just sitting down with a piece of paper and a pen and putting numbers on a piece of paper. You don't have the data. There's some pre-work that needs to occur. Okay. And typically, from the way that I like to talk to people, is that you're talking about at least, at a minimum, 30 days, ideally 90 days of pre-work. This is not going to be quick. In those 30 days, what I encourage people to do is to sit back and say, okay, this is everything that's come in to the penny. Now, here is everything that has gone out. Not just mortgage, rent, utilities, no. I went to the soda machine, I put in $2 for that soda, okay? And then we were walking through the mall, and I smelt that fragrance, and I said, I gotta go over here and get this pretzel. Everything that goes out. Because until you have understanding, powerful word, of how you engage money, you're not really prepared to make a budget. I shared an example in one of the previous classes where, in my testimony, it's public knowledge, paid off a ton of debt. And there was a lot of discipline and focus that had to come into paying that debt off. And then a year later, I stood there and I didn't have an extra dollar in my savings account. And I was like, what's going on? How is it that you have all this extra discretionary money that was committed to all these different bills? And 1 year later, without having a drop in income, you got nothing to show for it. At least a year ago, I was paying bills. What happened? I had to sit down and do this. And I told you all about this little restaurant here in town, okay, that I spent way too much money on, okay? But you have to gain understanding of how you are engaging money. Because just like we learned last week, there are things in your subconscious, my term for last week is money psychology. There are things in your subconscious that you are making decisions every day that don't even come to the conscious level. But they cost you money. They cost you money. You need to be able to take that subconscious activity, bring it to the conscious level to be able to gain understanding, because then you're in a position to actually make a budget. Yes, ma'am. You can. I mean, my personal opinion is I think it's a forward moving process, only because if you're like me, I try to put everything on a card, okay? Because I want to track everything, right? But, and that's why my wallet is like this thin, okay? I don't like to have no cash, okay? But invariably, I'll have cash in my pocket, okay? And then all of a sudden, it's not there anymore, and I'm like, what just happened? Okay, it just, and it's easier. How many people know it's easier to hold on to a 50 than it is a 5? Okay, it's real easy to hold on to a 20 than it is 5 ones. Okay, the ones are gone. Okay, and you're like, what just, I don't know where, did I drop it? I mean, so the point is that if you look backwards, you'll be able to see all the big ticket items and all the things that you did transactionally, but you won't see what you're doing on a cash basis, okay? So budgeting, to me, 30 to 90 days, why? 30 days will give you a capture, a snapshot. But if you're talking about a quarter, okay, one quarter, are there different, you know, upticks throughout the course of the year? Yes. But invariably, we know enough people that you're going to go to somebody's birthday party or somebody's get-together over 90 days. It may not happen in 30, but it might happen in 90. If you have kids, they're going to get invited to somebody's party over 90 days, okay? Unless they're just like, I don't want to be involved with anything. If you have kids that are active, playing sports or musical instruments or something, there's going to be some kind of trip that's going to happen within 90 days. Everybody's talking about it. There's going to be a form that's going to come home from the PTA saying, we need $5 for this. We need $10 for that. How many people know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of you, not. I get them all the time. So you need to track that because it's very easy to sit back and say, you know what? Okay, I've gone through my expenses, and I didn't account for that yearbook for kid 1, 2, 3. I didn't account for those 3 field trips. I didn't account for that band and those reeds that have to get bought because they broke them or they lost them. Oh, the band instructor wants us to go ahead and get a new musical book. And oh, by the way, now it's time to order the band t-shirts. And oh, well, we need track t-shirts too. And oh, we need, if you're just sitting down trying to rationalize, that's not reality of how you live, okay? But when you're tracking each one of these things, you're gonna see what those real expenses are. Okay, so then once you have done that and you have your data, that was the pre-work, now comes the real work, okay? The real work is sitting down and saying, okay, let me group my expenses, okay? We know all the big ticket items, okay? We knew all those, but then here are all the one-offs, and let's call this education. Let's call this sports, okay? Let's call this recreation, okay? You go on down and you list them all, okay? Charitable, in that is maybe your tithe, your offering, your other, whatever it is, okay? Mortgage, rent, okay? Here is utilities, here is communications, okay? And in that might be mobile phone, okay? In that might be internet, okay? In that might be TV, okay? You try to capture all that. Once you have it captured and you take all that data and you plug it into your groups, now you're in a position to sit back and say, okay, does this reflect my values? Because if you're looking at your budget, and these are just your, let's get rid of the word budget. These are expenses now, okay? When you're taking a look at your expenses and you say, yes, they align with my values, or I don't know, because Sash, this is my life. I don't see retirement in here. Notice we have not talked about retirement in the first 5 weeks, okay? Why? I'll tell you why. My belief is that it's important, don't get me wrong. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't do what I do, but I can't talk to you about this kind of a future until I've shown you where to get the money from. We have to live today. We have to understand where we are today before we can start thinking about what you're going to be putting down the road. Okay, so this is, we're not going to put the cart before the horse. We're going to leave the horse in front of the cart. We're going to deal with the cart first. Okay, so maybe in your expenses, you don't even have retirement. Maybe in your expenses, you may not even have savings. Maybe in your expenses, you may not even have an emergency reserve fund, okay? And we can talk about some of these different things. If we don't have any of those things, then you have to have the honest conversation with yourself and saying, does this represent my values? And if it doesn't, here's where budgeting comes in. And I tell people to budget the same way businesses do or nonprofits. Anybody know how they do it? Yes, you do. How many of you work for a company? You all know how budgets work, okay? If revenues are down, right, they're going to sit back and say, okay, department one, department two, department three, department four, department five. We need to cut 10% from that department. They might get cut 50, okay? They're gone. Okay, they're just going to be terminated. We're going to cut them by five. They're going to come up with the money. That's how business does it, okay? And then, unfortunately, at the tail end of that are people, right? We have 20 people working in this department, and the power-up says that we need to have a 50% cut in our budget for the department I'm working in. That sounds like maybe 10 people not going to make it. Right? The same thing is true for your own expenses. If your expenses don't align with your values and what you're trying to accomplish, then you're going to need to get out the red pen and go to some of these areas that are discretionary, because everything is not discretionary. You know, if you're renting, you just can't go back to your landlord and say, hey, I need to cut my rent by 50%. Okay. It's not going to work, okay? You're going to see a nice little letter on your door, okay? So some of these things are not discretionary, but some of these things are, okay? Maybe for a season of time, we take a look at our mobile plan. I'm looking at mine right now. Let me say this. While I am doing this, and I hear Pastor John often talk about this, and I'm always like, yeah, okay. He always says, you know, I'm ministering this, but he goes, this is what the Lord is taking me through, okay? I can attest, by being up here, oh my gosh, the stuff that I'm having to deal with right now, I'm like, I would rather not do this. But I'm looking at my communications bill as a prime example, okay? I spend more on this than I do on this. That's ridiculous, okay? My communications bill is larger than my utility bill? What? What? Time out. That cannot continue, okay? This shouldn't continue. I can make some adjustments here, okay? I can free up some capital, okay? I can free up some capital in a number of different areas. Because if you're just going to continue to operate this and maintain status quo, and then the Lord says, you know what? We want you to, as a part of your business strategy, we want you to sow a seed into another business. Well, I don't even have the capital. Well, maybe you do, but you just haven't focused in on what your real values are. And if the Holy Spirit, going back to the comment, if the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, and I'm not just talking about giving, but I'm talking about maybe investing in a new piece of equipment or starting a new strategy or maybe taking a different class so that you learn something different, your blessing is tied into the obedience of what he's leading you to do. And if that takes capital, you got to figure out where that is. Coming back to him and saying, I just don't have the money right now. Okay, that's just not going to work. Okay, it's just not going to work. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So I got this. Oh, thank you. I did the financial peace class last year or the year before. So the percentages that I have is from the Dave Ramsey book that we read. So on there, it is recommended that you do, you know, 10 to 15% for charitable housing, between 10 to 15%. No, I'm lying.
Normally, Dave says it's 25.
Yeah. No, it's 25 to 35% housing. Right. Utilities, 5 to 10%. Transportation, 10 to 15%. Food, 5 to 15%. Medical, 5 to 10%. And then personal stuff, 5 to 10. grow money, 2 to 5%, recreation, 5 to 10%, and then debts, 5 to 10%. Mm-hmm. So it,
mm-hmm. You're talking about Total Money Makeover. That's the
yes.
book that you're using.
Yes. Okay. But so, this was off of one of his older books.
Right. The reason I don't go into percentages, okay, is because I don't know your life. Okay. I don't know that those percentages are necessarily apropos for Syracuse, New York versus California versus Florida versus I just don't know that. Okay. My focal point is always on what can you control, okay? And the example that I share with people a lot is, let's just say that we have, whatever the vision is it debt reduction, is it increasing savings, is it whatever, okay? The goal is to go from Syracuse to Buffalo, okay? You can get there as fast as you want.
You can take a plane. There are services from Syracuse to Buffalo. Okay, you can take a train. You can ride in a car. You can ride a motorcycle. You may actually want to ride a bicycle. There are people that ride the Erie Canal on a bike from Buffalo to Syracuse. There are people that can ride on a skateboard. You could actually even walk. What's the difference? The difference isn't the place of origin to its destination. The difference is the rate of speed at which you're trying to get there. So the reason I don't like percentages is because one person might say, you know, debt service 2 to 5%. That wasn't going to work for me 20 years ago. I want to eliminate it as quickly as possible. I look back today and say, just for by the grace of God, I don't know how I paid off $85,000 of debt in 3 years. I got no idea. But I knew that my focus was single. I wanted to sprint. I wasn't trying to take breaks. I wasn't interested in tangents. The goal was in my mind. And with the same energy and the commitment that I brought to the table, God's blessing and anointing was on it. He loves when people want to run. And he's like, he's not going to tell you slow down, okay? If you want to walk, he's not going to say speed up. He's going to meet you where you're at. So if you want to use guidelines in those kinds of books or in any other kind of book online, there's tons of resources out there to help you budget and come up with percentages. The question is it going to allow you to operate at the speed with which you are trying to move? And that's a personal decision. Okay. Okay. Other questions? Any other topics that we want to talk about? Does that help with the budgeting? Okay. Any other topics that we talked about that we want to revisit before we get into the rest of what we got for tonight? None? Okay. All right. So let's go on. My question is, when you're on the journey, when you're on this journey from A to B, what kinds of things, because we've all been on journeys before and we're still on journeys right now. Let's talk about opposition. What comes up? What kinds of things have we experienced that have come up that hinder our progress or deter us or discourage us? What kinds of things have come up? Yes, ma'am. Sickness, death, okay. What else? Unexpected expenses. Okay, what else? Yes, sir. Other people's monkeys, okay. Other people, okay. You know, and I just want to let you know right now, this does not come with spell check, okay? So don't judge me, okay? All right, what else?
friends and distractions. What else?
Emotions.
Absolutely. You all talked about that last week. What else?
Bad investments.
Okay, so we're going to put down, instead of just friends, we're going to put down family. Family issues. There's lots of them. ABC person needs bail money, okay? I'm saying it, okay? Needs bail money. Are they going to be into jail for another day? Okay. Or so-and-so in the family passed away, sickness and death, and their family doesn't have money for funeral arrangements. Okay? I'll share a story with you in a little bit about that. What else? Fear and doubt. Okay. Anything else? Job loss. Or a market turn. Okay. What else? Moving. Okay. What else? There's always that. Absolutely. Here's the thing I want to highlight about the journey. Okay. We just listed a lot of things on that board that we don't and can't control. It's going to happen. If I had to bundle all of that, I would basically call that a distraction. You guys, if you've been here at the church for any number of years, you know Pastor talks about concentric circles, right? The circle of your control, circle of your influence, and then the circle of help me. See, if I had my notes, I'd know it. Okay, control, influence, concern, and then the cares of the world. Okay? One of the things that Pastor talks about when he teaches that, and when he's taught that in the past, he talks about everything and every challenge that you come up. You need to plot that on that graph, because there's a lot of stuff that happens out here on the periphery that has nothing to do with where you're trying to go. You have no control over it, okay? And if you have no control over it, does that really mean that you have responsibility for it, okay? I'll give you an example. I told you I was going to share an example. I had a situation where someone in my family passed away, okay, and I got called, and I went down. They were hooked up to life support equipment at the time when I got to the hospital, and I had family members there, and we were all talking, and then the phone rang, and then they were like, oh my gosh, another family member just got hit by a bus, and they were at a different hospital. So I stayed at the one hospital with some family. The other members went there. Long story short, both people died the same day. And so now, I'm talking to a family member, and we're talking, and we're trying to figure out how are we going to make some funeral arrangements and everything else for the one family member that I'm closest to. And they were deferring to me a little bit. And I was like, well, tell me what the wishes were. And they were like, cremation. I'm down. Okay. So they were like, we have an undertaker in town that we normally go to. The hospital will only release the body to an undertaker. That's fine. So I go, and lo and behold, there is the other part of the family there for the other family member who had passed away, and they're in talking to the undertaker. Okay. Now, please don't judge me. I'm just going to be real with you. So they're talking about caskets and flowers and limos and all kinds of stuff, okay? And I'm sitting outside, I'm listening, and this meeting is just like going on and on. So finally they come out, and the funeral director says, "Hey, you know, Mr. Milligan, how are you? We're just meeting with the rest of your family. We'd like to go ahead and talk to you about the funeral arrangements. We understand that you're spearheading it for the other family member that passed away." "Yes, I am." So the other family comes to me. These are the opening words. Now, I don't even know that side of the family, okay? They said, "This is what we were thinking. We could do a joint funeral service." Sounds good so far. And we can just do a couple of different things together, and we just figured that we just split the cost. Don't sound so good, okay? So I'm like, "Well, what are you talking?" Well, their side was already at 20. I'm not splitting 20, okay? I'm just not going to split 20. And secondly, my portion is not even in there yet, okay? You all have lost your minds, okay? That's what I thought, and that's what I said, to which we didn't talk anymore. That's out here. I'm concerned about it, yeah. I have no influence over it. But the thing that I can control is right here in my wallet. Things I can control is right here in my mind. Things I can control comes right out of my mouth, okay? And I need to be reconciled and need to be clear, okay, about those things. This kind of stuff is going to happen. Let's just accept it. It's like Christmas. It's coming, okay? It's coming, okay? It's coming. What do you do in the interim knowing that you're going to have these kinds of oppositions? And there's a whole lot more. Okay, let's just be real. There's a whole lot more. What do you do in the interim? How do you prepare yourself for the journey? Anybody ever seen the movie Moses? And you see them when they leave Egypt. You know, they've gone and they've asked for all the finest things of Egypt, and they gave them all their gold and all the, you know, and they're all walking out, and they're coming up to the sea, and then they turn around and they see Pharaoh's army, right? Opposition is chasing. Opposition doesn't always confront. Opposition can chase, okay? Your past can chase you. Your thoughts, your subconscious can chase you on this journey. And in the movie, I thought it was hilarious because I was like, that's exactly what I do, okay? If you remember the movie, how many people, if Moses comes to you and says, "We are leaving Egypt, pack your stuff, let's go." You're not going to grab everything, but you're going to grab all the stuff that you just got, right? All the wealthy things, the valuable things, and you're going to take your precious things with you too, right? And that's all cool, and you can bring some of that stuff on your journey until you feel and you face an obstacle and you see your opposition chasing you down and you realize that you need to run with deliberate speed, okay? Are you going to carry all this stuff with you? You're going to drop and run, right? Don't judge me. Sometimes there are things that you're just going to have to drop, let go, and move forward. That includes people. You can't bring them all with you. I would love for everybody to come with you, but some of them are weights that you need to cast aside. Other people have all kinds of intentions for your future and your money. The question is, are they at a higher level than your own? You've got to make that decision. And that's tough, but you only do that in the journey. You don't do that when you're over here. You don't do that over there. You have to do that on the journey. So what else? How do you overcome some of these things? What are some practical things? And I'm going to share some things that I do. And I'm going to share with you one of the things that helped me graduate from college. Okay. In high school, I was a okay student. I was the kind of student that, was it wise, Alec, I guess? If you told me that a B is above average, that was my vision. I'm a B student, okay? I graduated with a B average. Did I apply myself? No. Could I have gotten A's? I could have had a 4.0 in high school. Mom, don't listen to this tape. But because she was on me, okay? But the point is, I just didn't apply myself, okay? College, though, things got real quick because I realized that money was involved. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you things that if you do them is like rhema and is like a continuous wellspring of encouragement and nourishment for you that will sustain you. Okay, so I'll share with you one of the things that I did on my journey. I had enough money for one semester. University of Memphis. When I went there, I had about $3,000. I borrowed $3,000 from my grandparents. My mom gave me some money, and that's how I got through my first semester. My goal was after I leave this school, you know, in December, I'm going back to Germany where my family was living, and I'm going to join the Air Force. I was destined because I graduated with small senior class, 36 seniors, 30 of them went in the military. Okay, 6 of us went off to college. I was going to be number 31 after one semester. Okay, that's where I was because I had enough money for one semester. But in that one semester, I realized, I was like, this is not that hard. And I started looking around at other people. I was like, y'all not that smart. Okay, I was like, I can do this. Okay, so I said, I went to the scholarship office and I was talking to this lady. Her name was Diane Hale. And Diane said, you know, she goes, Sasha, if you can show me academic aptitude, I can show you what I can do. And I was like, okay, deal. So I went back to, and she told me to take some different courses. So I got a piece of butcher block. Now this is pre-kingdom living, okay? This is BC, Sasha BC. But the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said, I want you to write down all of the classes that you're enrolled in. I was taking 18 semester hours. Write the name, make a column, write the grade, the minimum that you expect of yourself in this course. And then write the stretch grade that you would want to aspire towards. And then come up with your GPA. B is not going to be average. You're not going to be average anymore. So I said, okay. So I'm a realist, okay? I wasn't really good in science. I'm stretching for a B, okay? That's just me, okay? Math, I'm going to get A. Social studies, I'm going to get an A. Philosophy, I'm going to try to get an A. I forget what the other courses were. Boom, boom, boom. So my minimum, 3.5 or go home. That was my minimum. I wanted to be on the honor roll, okay? Throughout high school, whatever, okay? I was just like, whatever. I wrote my vision down on a piece of butcher block. You know what that is? Those little big sheets that you tear off? I taped it to the back of my dorm room door. I put it in a visual place that I would see every time I walked out that room. I didn't know to do this, had never been taught to do this, didn't know this was actually kingdom principles. My stretch goal was a 3.8. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it was a 4.0 because I was taking a science class. It wasn't going to happen, okay? I ended up with a 3.89. That simple exercise got me a 3.5-year full ride to the University of Memphis. Okay. I have used that was pre-kingdom. In the kingdom, I learned about writing the vision plane. It's in Habakkuk. We all know that. We've heard about it hundreds of times. How do you, on your journey, continuously encourage yourself? How do you hold yourself accountable to the vision of where you aspire to be? Write it plain. Write it big. Put it in a prominent place. I think, you know, we all watch these TV shows, HGTV, and, you know, they go in and they rehab homes and they decorate them. And, oh, my God, my house does not look like that. I'm just going to let y'all know. Okay, maybe yours does, but that's just not my house. My house has a piece of paper on the wall that encourages me. My house has a scripture on my fridge the pastor encouraged us to do. My house has accountability markers all over the place because it's not about how comfortable you feel and what it looks like. What it's about is, am I keeping my mindset because I'm on a journey? Once I've attained, yeah, some of that stuff can come down and then we can put up new stuff, okay? But these are some practical things that if you're not doing some of these things, they will make a real difference in your life. If you sit back and the word that God spoke to you and you craft it, if you take God's word, I shall lend and not borrow, and you put that up in your bathroom, and every morning you're sitting there and you're scrubbing and brushing your teeth, and you're looking at, I will lend and I will not borrow. I'm getting out of this place of lack. I'm going to a place of abundance. Write it plain so that you can see it. That's going to get into your subconscious. Just like we found out earlier that there are economic decisions that we are making, and there are emotions and values that we are acting out of our subconscious based on history because of things that we weren't trying to be intentional about. We can intentionally put things into our subconscious. And in the future, when we're out there standing there at that soda machine, be like, oh, no, we're not going to do that today because I got a bigger future. I got more purpose for my money than this. Write it plain. Anybody do this kind of stuff? All right, I like it. Okay. Give me some other ones. I've got some more, but I want to hear some other things that people are doing, practical things that we're putting in place that keep us focused on this journey. What do we got? I'm sorry? A vision board. Absolutely. What's on your vision board, Marcia? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Your part. I like it. Okay. Go ahead.
Like I declares, I have them printed out, and they are all over. So going in, going out, standing at the sink, in the bathroom, I can brush my teeth. I will declare that I'm a healer.
Amen.
And I just speak it out loud.
Amen.
My vision board that I have on my bathroom wall is life that was spoken to me listening to faith talks by pastors. And then I have pictures, like Jensen Franklin one time was talking about koi fish. You can be a little koi fish and they stay in their environment. You have to be around people like this that have like-minded to expose you to more so you can grow more.
Right.
So I wrote all of those things down, the scriptures. I speak them out every day. And then I have a picture of a koi fish. And it's like in a bigger tank, in a lake, in a pond. Where do I want to be? I don't want to be that little koi fish.
Amen.
I have it all over.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Practice something, whether it's an instrument. Oh, sorry. I do calendars, like anything I might be lazy with, like if for exercising, if I know I cheat a lot with not eating properly, or if I'm taking a class and I know I need to study, I log when I do it. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the month, I can see, oh, I got lazy and I didn't do it for 2 weeks.
Okay. So you said you have a log, which means that you're tracking your data. Let's hear it up for tracking data. I like it. Okay. What else?
Yes.
You accountable and love, and they're safe with it as well, though.
I'm going to say this word. We haven't talked about it yet, but when we talk about having an accountability partner, okay? Accountability partners are tremendous, and I'm at the point. I was just thinking about this today. I said I need to get me some new accountability partners for some new, different areas of my life. Yes, we're sharing with them the vision. Yes, we're sharing them with where we're at, that's becoming vulnerable. And the first thing that's true about love is that you have to be vulnerable enough with somebody else that they can actually and give them the authority to hold you accountable. Because nobody wants to hear it. Okay? If you're my accountability partner and you're talking about Sash, you said you want to lose 20 pounds, okay? Why are you eating them chips? Okay. It's like, okay, I have to give you authority to say that to me, okay? Because I can't be like, man, just shut up. I don't want to hear that, okay? Just talk to me after I'm done, okay? You have to be willing to share. And the thing about accountability partners, it's not always the people that you think are going to be good. It's somebody who's going to be bold enough and love you enough to say it to you. Because a lot of people be like, you know what, I ain't going to say that. Go ahead, have them chips. I know you're going through withdrawal. It's cool, you know. So even more so when it comes to our money. Yes.
They recorded, wrote down some I am statements for myself, mm-hmm. and I recorded myself saying them.
Amen.
And listened to it.
Amen. You know, in this modern age, we have technology. And you want to know, if you ever go to a seminars where they talk to people about public speaking, one of the things that they do is they sit you down and they make you give your pitch, and it's being videotaped, okay? And then after it's done, we just did this down last week when I was down in St. Louis at headquarters. We had a speaker up, and he was talking, and he goes, turn to your neighbor and pull out your phone, okay, exchange phones, put the camera feature on, and give them your pitch, your 30-second elevator speech, okay? So you sit there, and you just, boom, and then, you know, okay, your turn, boom. Get the phone back. Now, be honest with yourself. Play it. So everybody's sitting there playing it. They said, okay, would you do business with you? Or do you need to tighten that up a little bit, okay? That is incredible, and we all have that ability in our on our person, in our pocket, every day. I could care less how many pictures you take. I could care less how many videos of little kids and animals and other things that you have. The question for you is, how often are you recording yourself talking about the vision, talking about what God spoke to you, and then going back and revisiting it, and when you sit back and you see yourself, can you honestly sit there and say, the person that's saying this is saying this with conviction? The person who's saying this is saying this with faith? Or is it just words? You can judge yourself off of a 30-second video, and you can't lie to yourself because it's right there in front of you. And if it's not at the place where you have conviction, do it again. And do it again. And then do it again until it's in you. Okay? I'm going to come over here to you in just a second. There was something that I heard somebody that was talking along these lines. And they were talking about how do they encourage themselves along the journey in the context of healing. And they said, I forget where I heard this. They said, I got a medicine cabinet. And so I was like, okay, all right, I got you. You know, in the bathroom, you pull the mirror, and there's my medicine cabinet. And they said, I've got jars of scriptures right next to pills. If I'm taking a pill, I'm pulling out a health scripture. That's my medicine cabinet. And I was like, that's crazy. Okay, I love that. Okay, what are we doing financially? What are we doing financially? Every time, it used to be so much easier when I told you how old I am. I actually lived in a time when actually people wrote checks, okay? And at the bottom, I used to love checks because at the bottom in the memo line, I would write down what my seed was going to produce. I would write down scriptures. I would write down encouragements. It was edifying to me, especially if you get return checks where they actually process them and send them back to you, okay? And you get to see your words again, okay? And then you sit back and say, oh, my gosh, wow, the Lord did do that. There are all kinds of practical techniques that we can employ, but we have to be intentional about them. So I want to come back to you. Yes, ma'am.
This is funny. This is tripping me. God has been dealing with me, and I spent all day today at work listening to a mentor, a gentleman who became a mentor of mine. He passed away. And the word God gave me even since last week is, I knew what I wanted in life, but I did not know what I was doing. I don't know if you can relate to that, in so many different areas. And this mentor, in studying under him, he said three things that stuck with me: information, understanding, and application. He said, you can't apply what you don't understand, and you can't understand if you don't have the information. I said, wow. And these were kingdom principles, and I'm like, wow, I never heard this. Well, but it made so much sense even in my life. Today I was studying because the thing I realized I needed to pick up was more information. And from the information, ask God for understanding. The thing that's always tripped me up in life, even in college, was the failure to apply myself. Mm-hmm. So I said I had it out of order. So I was reading today, one of the things God led me to today to read was about the different types. So as I'm listening to you talk about accountability, that was the very last thing I read.
Amen.
Someone to keep you accountable, someone who could tell you when you're wrong and where you need to make corrections. And it's a type of relationship. It's not just anybody. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that. What else? Let me ask, what are some other things? Because I'm a rubber hit the road kind of guy, if you haven't figured that out yet. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I just write my life out, mm-hmm, as if I already accomplished it.
Amen.
And I read that to myself. I say if I want to buy a rental property, I say I'm a real estate mogul, Leroy Ball Real Estate. At this time, this age, at this, and I just keep reading it to
Amen.
Myself. And ironically, it's been happening in my life.
Amen.
Like for jobs and everything. I'm like, wow, this stuff really works. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I just make a story.
That's right.
And then I draw a little pictures because, you know, kind of visual. I see myself doing that.
I'm down. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I think, so here's the thing. It's finish the sentence. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, names will never hurt me. And that's a lie. That's the biggest lie, okay? Words can kill you, okay? Especially if they're coming out of your own mouth. And one of the things I talked about a minute ago is alignment. You have to align your thoughts with your actions, with your words. They have to be in alignment, especially as it relates to your money. Because you can sit back and think, I'm going to get out of debt. And your actions are like, but we're going to do this over here. And your words are like, well, you know, every time I make a little bit of progress, something comes up. Okay? You're definitely not in alignment. Okay? You're all over the place. You have to align those. Things are still going to come up. The things that we talked about in that journey are still going to manifest themselves. And when, you know, I'll give you my very real. I'm driving my mother's car and going to a school play. Final play of the year. I'm driving. We're good on time. I think I'm actually early. I'm rolling into the parking lot. I don't know what I was thinking. I hit the curb. What? I don't ever hit curb. I roll on into a parking space. I get out. And I'm like, Lord, okay? At that moment in time, I had a choice. It's my mom's car. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. My choice is repair those tires and get her a new set, do the whole thing. But you can get discouraged because you're sitting like, oh, Lord, I wasn't planning on spending $200, $400, $600. Or, you know what, praise God, you knew this was coming. We're going to take care of this too. Okay, this is just a little speed bump on the way to what I've got to do. Okay, you have to have alignment. I can't tell you I was aligned. I can't say that, okay. But I can tell you I corrected it quickly. What else? So pictures, writing stories. One of the things that they do in business schools is they ask their students to write their obituary, their first year. What will your life's work be? You're coming here to gain all this knowledge, to go on this great career path, but what are they going to say? What's going to be on your tombstone? I think I love that question. What's on your tombstone? Okay, it's a pizza commercial. What else? What are some other things that we do or that we can do that you guys are currently doing? Because we're here to learn from one another. Things that we can practically apply that keep us encouraged on our journey.
We do a lot of the things that everyone has mentioned, but we just, in the last 3 years, we have a separate bank account. Mm-hmm. So everything like that we have to pay, our mortgage, our utilities, that's budgeted and kept in our main account that we've always used. And then everything that's extra or we have set for like specific amount for savings or for the kids' accounts, that's in the other bank that we don't save the online password, so it's not easy to get onto. We don't use a debit card for them. We don't have a credit card for them. Even though like we're approved for those things, we just don't have it. So
it's good.
That money stays in there. Not meant to be spent on a yearly even basis.
Okay. I like it. You're introducing me to, because I have a couple more points that I want to raise to you. And one of the things that you can do, like I said, I like to operate where the rubber hits the road, okay? Practical things that are easy to do. You mentioned the bank, okay? Years ago, I was down in St. Augustine, Florida. And if it had not been for a Saturday afternoon, I would have another bank account at a bank in St. Augustine, Florida, okay? Because I was walking, eating my ice cream, and I looked up, I said, oh, I need an account there, okay? The name of this bank is called Prosperity Bank. Are you kidding me? Okay, I was like, I just like the ring of that, okay? Why? Because it speaks to me. Every time you write a check, you see, I have an account at Prosperity Bank, praise God. You know, so little things like that mean a lot to me, okay? So along your lines, you have separate checking accounts. How many of you know that when you go online and you look at your bank accounts and you may have, you know, two, three, four accounts or whatever, you look at them online and then they give you a chance to come up with a nickname. Right? What do you call your, this is stuff I used to do. So I'll give you an example. I'll come back to that. When I was going through the debt reduction process, right? I called it my debt freedom plan. It's my debt freedom plan, okay? Not elimination, because what you can eliminate can come back. It's my debt freedom plan. I'm free. I'm not going back. You see the subtlety and the difference in words? Okay. Same thing is true with your bank account. When you go online and you have all these different accounts, account number ending in 1918, account number ending in 2033, account number ending in 1465, account number in 3746. That's how it looks when you look online, right? And then they say, do you want to create a nickname? Yes, because 3746 means nothing to me. It means everything to them, but it means nothing to me, okay? This is my seed account, okay? I just want to name it. And what goes in that account, when I have a little extra, I just throw it in there because that's money that I'm going to sow, okay? When I have things come back in, that's my harvest account. This is my business opportunities account. You call it whatever you need for what makes sense in your life or in your business. This sounds so basic. And people that are not of the kingdom would sit back and say, that's trivial. God basically said some of the foolish things of this world are not foolish, they're wise. There are simple things that we can do every day. Videotaping yourself speak seems foolish to a lot of people. There is a very real and very tangible benefit to you. I'll give you another one. What do you do when you're in, this is what I do. What do you do when you're at work, you're at the grocery store or something, you're in bed at night, whatever, and all of a sudden you just have this idea, the Holy Spirit just says, boom, there's an impartation. What do you do with that? What do you guys do? Write it down? Okay, so you got like a little journal next to the bed, or when you're in the grocery store, you got your journal in your purse or your pocketbook, and you pull it out, and you do... What's that? Pull out your, that's what I do, okay? I got this little audio thing that it's, everything is going to voice recognition, by the way. It's no longer typing, okay? You just come up here and, you know, you go to your little voice file. I'm missing my voice file right now. But you go to your voice file, there it is, and you just, boom, speak it. Just speak it. Put a date on it, you can name it, you can file it, you can do any number of different things with it, okay? Nice thing is you can replay it back to you, and you get the essence of it. The reason I like voice over writing, okay, this is my personal tangent, okay? Maybe you all are more disciplined than I am. When the Lord speaks to me about certain things, I'll sit there and start writing, and then my mind is trying to say, okay, how can I interpret that? How can I do this? How can I do that? And I start writing, and then I'm like, what did he just say? Okay, because I'm all the way over there in right field. I just need to capture that thought, okay? Then later I can maybe come back and write a little bit more and develop it, cultivate it. And that's, it's interesting to me that we are in a, and we're going to close with this. We are right now in a season of, adjustments and tweaking, if you haven't sensed that, okay? If you're members of this church, I love pastor series right now. And I'll never take anything away from it. I think our pastor is phenomenal. But I can definitely tell you that from how I receive, there are certain messages that are at a certain time that are meeting me where I'm at, and what I'm going through, and it's just like, it's clicking, it's firing, okay? This class, what we're talking about last week to this week, to what he's about to talk about on Sunday, that's crazy, okay? And I'll mention the word that he's talking about, hovering, to hover, okay? And I think I'll just share a personal story, and I'll end with this, because we didn't do a testimony tonight. For the last 2 months, as I was getting ready to put the curriculum and the outline together for what we were going to be talking about for 10 weeks, the Lord started stirring me, okay? Just like he talks about, he's dealing with me first. I'm going back to the budget, okay? I'm coming up with discretionary income. And I'm like, I don't need to, but okay, whatever. There's something greater coming. I know. Okay, I got it. And I've been hovering. And sometimes when it comes to financial situations, we think that the answers are crystal clear, okay? So I'll give you an example, all right? Should you, we talked about it a while ago, refi or not, right? Well, maybe you should, Okay? And one of the things that we talked about was that if you're going to go ahead and have capital, you need to have that capital tied to a specific purpose. And we can easily come up with our own plans and our own ideas. If I get that kind of money, I can do this, I can do this, I can eliminate that, and I can do that, and do this, and do this, and this. And I shared this with somebody in my office today. I was like, can I borrow this for a second? Okay. We live our lives like this, okay? There's my thermos. That's one of my assets. I've got all my other things. I know where I'm at. Okay. And now I have this opportunity. When it comes to money, you need to sit back and think about everything that's on the table. And you need to see it from different vantage points. Because what may make sense to you here logically may not make sense for you when you repurpose and reprioritize things in a different way, okay? So the example that I gave today, I had a cup in my office, okay? Let's use this thermos. And I said, you know, all my life I've operated like this. I get it, I drink it, I put it back down. Thank God I didn't get it on me, sorry. Okay, I get it, I drink it, I put it back down, I wash it out, I put it back, and I'm always sitting there looking at it like this. I don't know, it's just a thermos. But when you start hovering and you really allow the Holy Spirit to really direct and to lead you, all of a sudden you may come over here and look at it from a different vantage point. And when you look at it from a different vantage point, you're like, wait a minute, that's not the same thermos that I always saw. I never saw from this vantage point the fact that it had the word contingo on the other side. Let me turn this thing around. Let me get a different understanding of a piece of property. Is this something I need to own? Is it not? If it's a piece of equipment, do I need to own this? Do I need to transition it? Do I need to move something different? Have everything on the table and allow him to direct you. Hover over all of this, okay? Because you may find value that you never saw before. So in the last 2 months, this is the testimony. I've been going through this process, and I put everything out there, and I'm like, Lord, what you want to do, okay? I really don't want to do nothing, but whatever. So I thought that the easy 1 + 1 = 2, it was a slam dunk decision, right? You know 1 + 1 = 2. And I hovered over it some more. And I'm like, okay, so I started seeing things a little bit differently. I started seeing a different vantage point. And I'm like, okay, so maybe I should not be doing some of this. Maybe I should be doing some of this because this makes more sense, and I can forecast from here because I know my data. That might make a whole lot more sense, Lord. And he didn't give me a release. So I went back, and I'm like, okay, I'm hovering. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to understand. Notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that I added any new thing to the table. I had the same 5 things on the table, okay? But I'm looking at different purposes, different alignments, different structures, and different ways to work things together, okay? Be it home equity line of credit, be it credit cards, be it savings account, be it checking, be it where you do your checking, all this kind of stuff, hover over it. And as I was doing that, here in the last week, I was down in St. Louis last week, I saw something for the first time that it blew my mind. And it was having the same assets, have the same equity and the same liability on those assets, but by being able to restructure and repurpose how I use those assets, it was going to make a difference of $500 a month. That blew my mind. Now, I've been operating with these same 5 things for years. And I mean 10 plus years. And I never saw this opportunity the way it came crystal clear in the last week. And the only reason it did is because I basically hovered over it. And I don't know what he's going to talk about on Sunday specifically, but when he was mentioning it, it brought me back to what the scriptures talk about, how the Lord hovered over the face of the earth. And I was thinking, I was like, you know what? If you're hovering, maybe I can make an ocean here, Maybe I can make land over here. Maybe I'll make a mountain here. Maybe the ocean depth will be lower here. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll put the ocean over here. That's what hovering is. Allowing the creativity and the thought process to govern everything that you have in your life. And letting the Holy Spirit direct you to what the order should be. Because the things that were first before may not be first tomorrow. The things that may be priorities yesterday may not be the priority tomorrow. That's why I'm not a big person on percentages when it comes to budgets. There are different seasons in life. And he's going to speak to you and give you insight. Okay, Pastor said a long time ago, there's a divine conspiracy that is meant to do you good. God is meant to do you good. But we have to be open to listening to him and receiving from him. So that's the core of and the crux of what we wanted to talk about today, because we're on our journey. We can all acknowledge that we're on our journey. We talked about and we recapped some of the things that we've talked about in the first 5 weeks. We don't need to do all of them. I'm encouraging you to go back and revisit them. Put all that stuff on the table for yourself. And be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I need help in this area. It's okay to ask for help. We addressed that week one. You can't do it all yourself. If you need help, reach out. Find those accountability partners, people that you can trust, who have knowledge and understanding, and who can connect with you because they want to see you successful. Okay? That's all I got for today.